It's Angela with the podcast Refocus with Angela Stevens. I am so thrilled to have you with me today as I'm interviewing a unique guest and someone that you might have heard about or wanted to talk to a coach like this, but didn't know much about them. So I am thrilled to let you know who our guest is today. Her name is Donna Bond. She is a soul-centered catalyst for personal transformation. She's also an author. She's a speaker. She's a transformation consultant. She's a professional life and business coach, and on and on. And so, Donna, did I miss anything in that introduction?
No, Angela, thank you so much for having me today. Such a pleasure to be here.
You're so welcome. So, you know, all of this, all of these episodes on our podcast is about focusing. And before we get going, I would love it if you could explain to our audience, you know, kind of a little bit about what you do and how they can find you, and then we'll go on from there.
Yeah, well, I defected from the corporate world in 2014. I enrolled myself in a master's program in spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica, and I have been acting as a full-time professional coach for the last 6 years, and I have found my calling, and I love it. I help people really get in touch with their higher self, their authentic self. And I assist them in integrating that more into their human self. So it's like the ego and the soul. And how do we bring those two pieces of ourselves together and live more on purpose?
Love that.
So that in a nutshell, you know, I could talk about this for the whole hour, but in a nutshell, that's what I do. And you know, you can go to donnabond.com and learn more about it.
Okay. No, and we're going to get into that. So I own three businesses. And as I told you before, why, I'm not sure, but I think I don't sleep. I think that's the reason. But one thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, I interview a lot of people. I've done it for 30 years. And, you know, when you made this change, first of all, what was it that you said, you know what, I want to change course? Because I think a lot of times people do that, you know, in midterm of their life. But right now, even during the pandemic, I think a lot of people are really taking a second look at their life. So what was it that made you change from what you were doing to this role?
You know, I think so many of us fall into the hypnotic trap of buying into somebody else's agenda. And, you know, we take on belief systems from our parents and our teachers and society, and we think that there's this game plan that we're supposed to show up for in our life. And I definitely showed up for that game plan. And I, you know, had my high heels on the corporate ladder, and I climbed it steadily for 28 years. And I got to the top and I looked around and I said, all of that, or all of this, is not all that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I had really amassed a good amount of material success in my life, and I was so unhappy. I was unfulfilled. I felt empty, and I didn't have a sense of making a contribution to the world or doing anything that I felt really mattered, you know, that really made a difference. Mm-hmm. And so I had a very big spiritual awakening, and that is what invited me to begin making all these changes in my life, which is what brought me to where I am today.
Love it. Love it. So tell me this. So when people seek you out, what are they looking for? Or, you know, first of all, you know, I think it's good that we determine, you know, what is different about you as a coach from others, number one. And I think you and I talked a little bit about that before. So I think we need to address that. But also, I'd love to know, you know, why people come to you, and you know, what's that connection?
The modality of spiritual psychology, which was developed by Drs. Ron and Mary Holnick, who are the founders and the professors of the University of Santa Monica, that technology is very unique. And it is a way that we can experience true freedom from emotional upset and disturbance, where we can experience a true and experiential knowing and understanding of the higher aspect of ourself. And I work with a lot of people who, very similar to me, it seems like they have it all, like on the surface of their life. You know, they've got a great job, they might have a family, some kids, a spouse, a career, but they're looking around and they're saying, there's still something missing for me. Like, what is missing for me? And those are the people that find their way to me. And those are people who are really ready to take action. You know, people who are ready to do the work, people who are ready to really experience true transformation in their life.
Wow. Can you give us, without naming names, can you give us an example of someone that has come to you and you've seen a great transformation? And I think that will explain to a lot of people, you know, the different style of coaching that you provide.
I have a client who came into my office, gave me 101 reasons why she couldn't work in the field of music. She had a family that was musical. She loved music. This was really where her heart was. But she literally gave me, you know, a laundry list for a half an hour, gave me a laundry list of reasons why that was not a possibility in her life. Well, she actually, about 3 months ago, just launched her first record album.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yes. So, you know, I'm cutting out a lot of the middle, but, this woman, and you know, you can check her out. Her name is Jolene Dixon and her new single is called Dreamer and it's really amazing.
I love that. Is that a Dixon? Is that D-I-X-O-N?
Yes. That is an example of an individual that the type of individual that I can assist. Somebody who, you know, has a dream in their heart, but they don't think that it's possible. They can't see the possibilities in it. So they stay in the life that's familiar. They stay in a place that they know about, even though they're unhappy, they're unfulfilled. There's a sense of familiarity in what we know. And this is why so many people don't break out of where they are, because it's so familiar with the surroundings that they know about. And this is what keeps us really from our full potential. And it really keeps us from living.
Right.
From enjoying life, from having an adventure and experiences that bring us to life and lift us up.
Right. And I can only guess that it's usually a major roadblock and it surrounds itself with people who basically told this person or influenced this person that they should be somebody else.
Yeah. I think we all, we're all subject to that because, you know, let's face it, our parents and their parents and their parents,
right?
Everybody's just doing the best they can. Right? We're all just doing the best that we
can. Right. They want the best for you. Of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we teach what we know. And that's why we fall into, again, these hypnotic, you know, patterns of repeat in our life where everything gets put on autoplay.
Right. So I would assume that a lot of these individuals in their life, sometimes, maybe not all of them, have, you know, faced failure. And we get a lot of people that write to us and they always say, you know, our whole mission is how to focus and how to refocus. And failure is always something that comes up. And they always ask us that question. So I'd love to ask you, you know, have you in your past ever faced failure and how you got out of that?
Of course I have. Let me count the ways.
Who hasn't, right? Yeah.
You know, here's what I want to share with your audience, Angela, and this is a very important lens that we look through under the umbrella of spiritual psychology. Spiritual psychology teaches us that everything in our life, everything that's happening, every person we encounter, every situation, every circumstance, every success and every failure are all beautifully designed opportunities being given to us to learn the lessons that we have essentially come to this life to learn.
Yeah.
So when we can update failure and reframe it and see it as feedback, see it as a beautiful opportunity that life is giving us for a course correction. Life is nudging us and directing us and guiding us in every moment. And when we can begin to view it that way, it doesn't hurt as much. It's not as painful because we don't feel like we've done something wrong or we've been let down or we get caught up in disappointment. We can look at that course correction as something that's for us, as a way that the universe is helping us to get to our next level of potential or to achieve something that is of greater success to us. For example, when I stepped down from my very sort of high-powered corporate career as a marketing executive in hospitality, I hung out a shingle as a marketing consultant because that made sense at the time. I had no idea that I was going to become a coach. I had no idea that I was going to work in the field of personal transformation. That I could look back on it and say, well, that was a failure, right? Because I quit my big fancy job and hung out a shingle as a marketing consultant. But that's not what I do today. That's not who I am.
Right, right.
that was a complete failure.
Right.
But I don't see it that
way. Oh, no. It's a step toward your future of what you're going to be.
Yeah. And I really opened myself to begin to receive the cues and the clues from the universe that was directing me onto a path that was so much more fulfilling to me on every level. And, you know, we call it failure because that's what we've been taught to call it, but it's really just feedback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. So it's interesting because when I was thinking about the woman that you were helping in music there, by the way, there is a great film out right now called High Note. And it talks about a woman that's, you know, feel basically, I don't want to spoil it, but basically she's, you know, a singer, but it's still not going her way. And it's how she gets through it. And it's really a great film. And so, so you might check it out. It was, I think it was on Amazon there for a while, but anyway, but I love stories like this because as you and I know, they don't start out at the top, right? It's really a journey. Everyone has their own journey. And so what I want to ask you, this is more personal for you, is first of all, you know, you've got to be tuned in. And you've got to be focused on helping your clients, right? So let's say, you know, you're having a bad day. Maybe you didn't sleep well, or maybe you were upset about something, but you had this appointment the next day. Maybe it was at 8 or 9 o'clock, and you have to have game on, right? And you've got to, because if you don't have game on and you're not focused, you're not going to be able to help your client, right? So you've had days like that. So what is your mornings like, and how do you start that when you need to be focused?
Yeah, I love your question. you know, it's kind of two-part. Well, it's multi-part. First of all, for me to show up and hold a deep, loving, open, receptive, non-judgmental space for my clients to do deep transformative work, I need to be clear. And I have a very devotional meditation practice that comes above everything else in my life. And I really mean that. It's a 7-day-a-week deal. I wake up and the first thing I do, I go to the bathroom and I sit down in my sacred space that I have created in my bedroom, and I meditate. And that spiritual practice is one where I I work out my own stuff, if you know what I mean, right? Like
right.
I will take responsibility for any inner upset that I'm having. And that's really a big part of what I teach and how I coach is helping people learn how to take responsibility for what's going on inside of them.
Right.
Because the world is always going to be doing crazy things. And it's just the reactions that we have to those crazy things that create upset in our life. But when we can begin to master our inner experience, we can then make a lot more progress. So my meditation practice is first and foremost, and it's not optional mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. It's not optional for the work that I do. Getting quiet, getting grounded. And even if something happens throughout my day, you know, where something might tip me over or throw me off course during the day, I have had a tangible, firsthand, experiential success in knowing that when I can pull my energy inward and I can connect to my breath and I can remember that I am a divine spiritual being on a human adventure, and that there's nothing outside of me that is greater than what's inside of me. You know, when I can remember that and pull myself inward, I can calm myself down, mm-hmm. I can focus. And I think the other piece of this is really knowing that the work that I'm doing is being of service. You know, I am being of service in the world. It's not about me. So in a way, I have to get out of the way. And that's also really helpful. And I've had I've had some definite experiences where, you know, I've had to go into a coaching session and I don't feel good, or I have a headache, or you know, whatever's going on in my own life right. is mm-hmm. encroaching on me. Mm-hmm. And when I remember that I'm here to show up to support my client, there's something magical that happens and takes over that allows me to move out of the way and to show up for them in this sacred space.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what happened.
No, I absolutely love it. Okay, I'm going to take it one step forward. Okay, so you go to your office space, right? And a lot of people are working from home, right? So are you a list person, or, you know, what do you do? And we're asking people more and more this every day, because a lot of people now have to work from home, right? Or they're, you know, actually dual parenting, dual teaching and working from home. So, you know, how do you start your day? I'm sure you have a calendar, you have your appointments, and how do you make sure that you don't overlook things during the day?
Yeah. So, I spend a lot of time getting my environment dialed in with, you know, an automatic calendar that connects to my email, that connects to my website, like it's all connected. Mm-hmm. And so that is super helpful because I've got two-way interfaces going back and forth. And, you know, I can name names if that's okay with you.
Sure.
But
I mean, up to you. Yeah, up to you, because I've got one more to follow on that, because, and as you're thinking through that, after that question, I wanted to see if you could tell us, like, you know, being centered as well with our children, because I'm fortunate. My son is ADHD, but he's now a sophomore in college. So he just left and I miss him terribly, but I feel for these parents who have children at home. And so here they're trying to, you know, focus on their strengths, but they're also probably being interrupted and they're having to teach. So how do you have any recommendations for those individuals as well to work with their children and to make them calm? Because I always have a feeling that it's kind of like the airplane thing, right? If you're not, you know, or the, what they say is save yourself and then you can help your child, right? But what is it that you can do to help your child be calm so that they can focus?
Yeah. I have two things. The first is to see them. And I mean that like in the deepest sense, to see them as spiritual beings having a human experience. And when we can see them that way, mm-hmm. it puts all of us on sort of the same playing field, mm-hmm. that we're all the same. We're all doing this thing together, this thing called life. We're all in club human. And, you know, I think sometimes, particularly kids who are acting up and acting out, like everybody just wants to be seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And so because we have our lives set up with so much technology and, you know, people multitask and we're trying to do 50,000 things at once, come back to a single focus. Come back to looking your kid in the eye and connecting with them at a heart level, just taking a breath with them, mm-hmm. and really slowing yourself down to hear them, to see them, to connect with them.
Right.
That I was going to give you two things. I don't even remember what the second well, one was right now.
While you're saying that, I remember when my son was younger, someone gave me advice to get on my knees and look them in the eye, get on eye level. That seemed to work. And I don't know why, but it did with us. Because then you're not talking down to them. And that seemed to really work. But I always told my son, I said, look, it's not a race. It's not a race. Right. Yeah. You have to take one thing at a time and get through it, but it's not a race. And I think a lot of kids, they must feel that way because they're not around their peers as much. Right. So I always think even to ourselves, right, it's not a race.
Yeah. But also I think what this brings in, Angela, and I love the part of getting on your knees because it's just like,
yeah.
No, I am at your level. I am with you. It's really connecting with another human on a soul level. And that's a really big deal. And we don't think of that throughout our day, but what if we did? What if we were able to see others through that lens of our higher self, the part of us that is comprised of love and made of love. And then we see everyone through the lens of love when we can connect with their soul.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And with that being said, you know, I always say that when they see that you get them, they do better because I interviewed a counselor some time ago and she said more compliments two children are better because we're always on them to do better, but they still got to have the good stuff, right?
Ah, of course. Prizing them and acknowledging them. And that's how we show them that we really see them.
Right. Right. Definitely. Definitely. So no,
I remember the other thing I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
My other tip is to release our expectations. You know, when we have expectations, there can be rigidity and we can get locked into, you know, this idea that I have to get this thing done this way by this date and this time. And, you know, let's be honest, that's just all stuff we're making up in our head. Mm-hmm. Truly. Mm-hmm. If we could relax our grip around that a little bit and really be open more to what life is showing us. And this kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying about, you know, there are no failures. There's just feedback. And we can take our cues from the universe. And when we're willing to not have expectations that are hard and rigid, then we're really opening ourselves to life. We're opening ourselves to magic and to possibilities and to something even better happening that maybe we couldn't have imagined on our own.
I love that. You know, I remember years and years ago before I even did this, early after college, I had, you know, we all get this drive when we're out of college and we're going to hit the world, right? With our experience, we're going to take over. And I had that kind of drive. And I remember I had a boss that we were not getting something done. And she said, it can wait. And I said, no. I've got to get this out. And she was so calm and she said, it can wait. And boy, has that stayed with me for years, because it can. And I think that's exactly what you were saying.
Like that brings emotion up inside of me. Yeah. Like that's how happy that makes me to hear you share that. And like, I want to write an article called It Can Wait. Like that's just so awesome. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's so true because, I've had staff members that they're wanting to impress me as their boss, which I am so grateful for that. But I always say, look, let's figure out, you know, what the bigger goal is here. And yes, we need to get back to that person, but we can call them tomorrow and it will be okay. And I get this look and I go, I was right there where you are, but trust me, one day will not make and if it does, sometimes it does, but 9 times out of 10 for me, it's always been, it's better to go slower, get it right, whatever you're working on, take your time, make sure that you're ready to present that proposal or ready to do that. And it can wait.
I love it.
And, you know, with that being said, another question that we get a lot is people who speak for a living, and you're a speaker, right? So
I am.
Many people get stage fright. They can be the most polished speakers who've done many, many, many events, but they still get stage fright, right? So if you were standing next to someone who was getting ready to go on stage, and it could be a CEO, it could be a head of sales, it could be many different types of roles, but you could see that they weren't ready. They weren't going to give that confidence. What would you have them do at that very moment?
I would have them breathe and I would invite them to remember that they know way more than they think. You know, we underestimate ourselves and people are sharing from their real experience, from their hearts, from what they really know. And if you're talking to somebody one-on-one, you know, they're not going to have any problem sharing with you about what it is, you know, they know or they want to get across. Certainly the intimidation of being on a stage or being in front of a lot of people can trip us up. I would go back to some of my core foundation, like my meditation practice and getting quiet within myself, connecting to my breath, remembering that nothing outside of me is greater than what's inside of me. And then you can relax, right? And it really, it's about relaxing and remembering, you know, you have the information, it's inside of you.
Right.
And, I mean, I could tell a whole story about how I crossed this bridge myself, but another piece of this for me anyway, is, really allowing myself to be used as a channel for higher information to come through. And, you know, I feel like I tap into a stream of consciousness essentially that allows me to bring through the right information that people need to hear. And so again, sometimes we're brought up to make sure you dot all your I's and cross all your T's and make sure you have all your shit together.
Childhood.
But maybe, exactly, childhood.
Yeah.
But maybe if we gave ourselves permission to be ourselves, to get it wrong, to color outside the lines, you know, then we can relax and we come across more authentic and more real. And then people connect to us at a deeper level.
Right. And you made a statement earlier when you said, you know more. I mean, they would not be asked to be a speaker if there was not some type of admiration or experience that they're bringing to the table. And I think that that alone, we sometimes forget because, you know, and so I think you answered that perfectly before, but, and then taking that to a next level, you know, I was referencing this before and I still feel for this woman who was on America's Got Talent and she was on the stage and she started her routine and in the middle of it, she just lost her way. And that can happen as a speaker as well. And no one's really answered that question on here yet. So I'd love to ask you that question. So let's say you have that person, you're in the crowd, you see them and they're frozen basically because they've messed up, right? How, what did they do at that very moment?
Be honest. Just be honest.
And, I love that.
Connect with the audience. Connect with the audience. And, you know, I can have a tendency to go on a tangent sometimes because I just am like accessing this stream of information that's coming through me. So it's really helpful to have bullet points or cues to, you know, keep yourself on track. But boy, I've many times have lost my way or, you know, like I said to you, I have two things. Well, now I don't remember what the second thing was.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? The world's not coming to an end.
That's right. And you answered it and it came back to you. And usually it does. And you know, that's what I said. And if I were giving someone advice on that, I would say, look, you know, be honest. And as you're talking to the audience, it's probably going to come right back to you as you're explaining what just happened, you know? So I always say, you know, just take a moment, right? Because with our company, Refocus the Creative Office, our theory and what we talk about all the time is we all get so busy that sometimes we need to stop, take a moment and refocus.
Yeah, love it. And that's doing this.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You know, we all have people that have inspired us and that we look to as models that have helped us through this journey in life. Who are those models for you?
Well, my professors and the founders of the University of Santa Monica, Drs. Ron and Mary Holnick, because the principles and practices of spiritual psychology, again, it's a technology that creates incredible freedom on so many levels. And not only did they develop the principles and practices of spiritual psychology, but they live by them. And they taught me how to live by them. And now I teach other people how to live by them. And my life is so much better. It's so much juicier. It's so much more fun. You know, right. It's so much more relaxed. It's so much more real that I'm not trying to force myself to be somebody or something that I'm not. And allowing myself to be activated every time something doesn't go my way or work out the way that I thought it should.
Right. And I would just like to compliment, you know, professors and the educators, the teachers out there. I think we all have people that have been either said positive or negative things that stay with us. And, you know, when you're ready, if you're a student that is fighting the ability to take that class, you don't want to be there, you don't want to do this, it's not going to be as great as it could be. And if you're a student that comes in, and I would say this to all of the students that are going to college right now, if you're a student that's going in, you know, give all of yourself to that class, because you might find out that the class you were dreading is the class that's going to take you on a new journey.
Yeah.
So I would say that, and you're a perfect example of that right there. Because you don't have to say your age, but I would like to ask you, you know, it seems to me with our research that women, usually in their 40s, kind of have this revelation of, hey, wait a minute, you know, I've raised my kids or I'm raising them, but I'm not doing what I want to do. Have you seen an insight of age groups that get this, you know what, I'm not going to do this anymore?
Yes. Well, gosh, it's such a multifold answer. And I'm happy to share my age. My awakening was really at the age of 44. And the reason that it happened to me then was that's how old my father was when he died. And so it was a real wake-up call for me because I was like, what am I doing with my life? I'm not happy. And, you know, I might not have very much time left because this is how old my father was when he died.
Right.
So, you know, today I am in my early 50s and, I love this reinvention process.
You know what? Same. And I love that. I'm 52 and I love it because you know what? I'm living my life. I have three businesses. I have a great staff. We're so excited about what we're doing. And so I would echo exactly, you know, what you went through. And I went through the same thing in my early 40s and I made the change. I had taken a break from owning businesses and I went and I worked for a large firm and then I came back and then it was like I had this whole release on life.
Yeah.
So I think it's being open, right, to what can be.
Yeah. Well, when I first started off on this journey, you know, there was not one bone in my body that thought that it was possible that I was going to reinvent myself and start a whole new career, you know, at the age of 44. I mean, I've come a long way since then in reshaping my belief systems that have really supported the life that I'm living. And I do think there's some sort of a magic inner gong that goes off between, I don't know, like 38 and 45. People really are like asking these questions. What is my life about? Why am I here? Right. What am I doing? But what I also am seeing are a lot younger. You know, my son is 23 and he's a really incredibly conscious kid. And I think the things that, you know, you and I may have been driven by and towards when we were that age are very different than what I'm seeing, you know, kids his age, just really coming in with this higher level of consciousness, much more awareness about humanity, the environment, living according to universal law and higher life principles that I didn't have a clue about at that age.
Right. And so listen, I could talk to you all day long because I think you're so amazing. But I've got three questions I want to wrap this up with. But the first one, I do want to ask, because we may have covered it, but I don't want to overlook it. Many people have a misguided idea of what spirituality is versus religion. Would you mind? I know you could talk for hours on that, but could you, you know, kind of summarize that for someone who's listening who doesn't know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, religion is a organized set of beliefs, period. Spirituality is the relationship that you have with the energetic part of yourself. That's it. That's the whole thing. That's all.
I love it. If you're listening to that, I would back it up and listen to it again and again until it hits. And I think you'll get it after that. So second question is, let's say that you're this person that, you know, we all know what we really want to do in life if we listen to ourselves, right? But let's say somebody's got a big dream, somebody's wanting to do a big change. But they have a spouse or a family member or someone that is like, no, like that's not you. You can't make a living at that. It's not possible with our family situation. There's got to be many people like that. So when people say no to them, what do they say back? That's a tough question, it's a big one.
You say, I'm saying yes to myself. Mm. I'm saying yes to myself. I'm saying yes to my dreams. I'm saying yes to my voice, to my expression, to my mark in the world, on the world, for the world. This is a lot about what I teach and share. And Angela, what you're describing is a very common dynamic that exists. And not only does it exist in our one-to-one relationships, you know, our marriages and even business partnerships and that kind of a thing, it also exists in the relationship that we have to the greater world or to society, you know, because there's safety in the tribe. There's safety in the community as long as you're behaving like the community or the tribe wants you to behave or act, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's can be scary to pull away from that, to be able to live into your own expression. But I believe that that's what each of us are really here for. And, you know, Joseph Campbell called this the hero's journey. And each one of us is on our own journey of becoming, our own journey of the realization of the truth of who we really are, irregardless of the family that you may have been, you know, born into, or the culture, or the religion, or the society. It's finding your own way is what activates the aliveness. And the only way we can do that is by connecting to that higher part of ourself, to that spiritual part of ourself, because that higher part of ourself has all the wisdom and the knowing and the guidance that we're working so hard to figure out down here on the ground with our, you know, left brain analytical minds.
Right.
It's all available to us. We just have to learn how to connect to it and to open to it and access it.
And it's an exciting experience doing that, isn't it?
It is an exciting experience doing that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. So I wanted to mention this. If someone, we'll put some information on our website. So donnabond.com, and then we'll put that on our website, which is refocuswithangela.com. That is our podcast website. And she, Donna, has a class that you can enroll in. Starts actually September 30th. It's called Empower the Authentic You. It's a 3-month online live masterclass. Did I get that correct?
You did. It's perfect. Thank you.
Great. You're welcome. And what you're going to learn in that is learning how to be authentic and learn more about you, your self-esteem, and being confident, and finding out who you are inside of you. So if they want to do that, can they sign up online? Do you do video coaching? Do you do all of that?
I do, yes. So I lead people in private coaching journeys that are either for 1 year or for 6 months. And, you know, these days I do all of my sessions over Zoom, but I really have a worldwide audience. I had a client this year who was based in Norway, which was kind of fun, trying to figure out what time it was over there. But
right.
This masterclass, I teach live in a Zoom room, and, you know, and then everything, of course, gets recorded and whatnot. But yeah, thank God for Zoom, you know.
No, you know, I always tell people, I always say, listen, everyone should have a counselor in their life and everyone should have a coach in their life. And one of the best things I ever did was when I was diagnosed at age 45 with ADHD, and I never knew. But about that time, things kind of were, you know, a little hectic. And the best thing I did was I hired a business ADHD coach, and it changed my life. It made me change the way I run my business, the way I run my team, the way that I look at things. It's the best gift that you can give yourself.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, Angela. And, mm-hmm. you know, we can read a lot of books, and, you know, we can take classes and seminars, and we can even get coaches. But if we're not ready to take action and
right.
to take these new perspectives and these new awarenesses and then actually apply them into our life, then nothing's really going to change. And it was through my own coaching experience that I understood that and learned that and really began to experience change in my life, because I had a great system, a great coaching support that was guiding me on what actions to take.
So awesome. So awesome. So, all right. So I have to ask you this question. We ask everyone this question at the end of our podcast. And I love it because music is something I'm so passionate about. My son played the viola, and I'll get into that later. I was a twirler, cheerleader, and a flute player, but that's another story. But I had an appreciation for music, and it changes your mood. It can bring you up, bring you down, and bring you spot on to be focused. So when you get into your car, and let's say you're going to go speak at an event, or you're going to an important meeting, and you've got to get yourself together, what music or what song or what artist do you listen to when you get in your car?
First of all, I really want to prize you on this question because I think it's so great that you're asking.
Awesome. Thank you. And by the way, I was telling her, as you're thinking of that, I was telling Donna that one of our co-founders, Drake Stevens, who is my son, will be putting a playlist together of all of our guest recommendations on songs that should be coming out in the next day or two on our website, Refocus with Angela. So definitely we will be including Donna's song with this. So what is your song that you listen to?
So I actually have a whole playlist of songs that intentionally lift my vibration, intentionally lift my energy. And this is definitely one of those songs. It's called Up the Ladder to the Roof. And it's by the Nylons, if you remember them. It definitely gives you a higher perspective. Come with me, and we shall run across the sky, illuminate the night.
We can see heaven much better. Go up the ladder to the roof. We can be closer to heaven.
Perfect. All right. Well, listen, you have been such a joy and such a privilege to have the time to have you on this podcast. And so this will be coming out shortly. We're excited to have Donna as our guest. You can go and make sure that you subscribe to our podcast so that you can get the updates. And like I said, the next one we have coming out is going to be focusing on brain health, what you can do to help be more focused, whether it be nutrition, supplements, or exercises, or any other ideas that a major head of R&D scientist that is coming onto our show will be providing on our next one. So I thank you so much, Donna, for your time. And we graciously appreciate you being on our podcast.
Thank you so much, Angela. It's been my honor.
Today's podcast was sponsored by Refocus, the Creative Office, where we create products that make your life easier. If you haven't checked out our new website, it's timetorefocus.com. The podcast website is refocuswithangela.com. On our Refocus website, you're going to see some new items added this week that you can't live without. They are definitely essential items that you can't find anywhere, and you'll definitely want to get your hands on those. So we've got several new products coming out. So follow us on YouTube, on our social media, on our websites, and we thank you so much for listening and have a great week.